Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Bethany Gilbert, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune and Pastor Dusty White of Corumdale Church and Pastor Chris Hemmelman of First City Church. Every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we're talking about the QAnon conspiracy.
QAnon. We need to do some debunking today. We need to talk about some things in the water out there in the Christian socio-political world. Chris, you're the genius on this stuff. You're the resident expert on QAnon.
Yeah, if 2020 hasn't been weird enough, let's talk about conspiracy theories.
Did you see the movie Conspiracy Theory? I thought that was a really good movie.
Was that like with Mel Gibson?
Yeah, it was like a late 1990s movie.
Yeah, Mel Gibson going crazy.
Yeah, well, the twist was at the end, the conspiracy was all... It was one of those movies that sets you up to think it's all fake, and then at the end, it's all true, and you're like, oh...
We should all believe that we didn't land on the moon and right. Elvis is still alive, hanging out with Tupac.
It would be great. And John F. Kennedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Hitler. Who's getting pretty old probably by now.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. Well,
I actually pushed for this conversation a couple times.
Chris wanted this topic.
I felt it would be kind of fun just to address. Well, we did get one person email about it.
Yeah, asking we did. We had a listener ask if we would tackle this topic. So here you go, listener.
There you go. We will even talk about conspiracy theories on the podcast if you ask us to.
That's right.
There is no topic we will not say no to.
Well,
after this, who knows? But it's also gained a little bit of traction both in the broader media as well within Christian media. There's been a number of articles written specifically about how Q is affecting some segments of the evangelical church and seems to be in some ways creating division along political lines. And so I thought, hey, why not at least just address the topic and maybe even get into some of the problematic nature of conspiracy theories and why, if you are conspiratorially minded and bent that way, that's some things you may need to be a bit cautious of.
Or if you've been cooped up on social media in 2020.
Yes.
Been in quarantine too much on Facebook. So there was a feature article in The Atlantic in May about QAnon. The World Magazine just did a feature piece recently in the last month about QAnon. Joe Carter did a piece at TGC, Gospel Coalition, back in May or June. So there have been some, this has been a topic that's been written about and talked about in the broader media landscape. And it does seem that in an election year, these kinds of conspiracy theories tend to take on more traction. Who knows why, but that tends to be the case. So Chris, could you summarize the conspiracy, the Q conspiracy?
Sure. So the origins, as far as people can tell, of QAnon started with and admittedly, I don't know some of this culture, internet culture. So this site called 4chan, where people can post essentially anything you want. I mean, it sounds like it can be kind of crazy town, but in particular, there was one poster named Q Clarence Patriot, who began posting various things claiming to be a high ranking government official who was working with the president, and in specifically that the Donald Trump was part of this group who was trying to take down a secret satanic pedophile ring that has infiltrated the government and Hollywood. And so all of these powerful movers and shakers in culture and politics are part of this conspiracy that are essentially harming children. So that's kind of the essence of the main kind of Q conspiracy. There are others related to when Robert Mueller was investigating Trump's involvement with Russia, that was somehow connected to this as well. So there are a lot of multiple sort of sub conspiracies within it, but the main one is sort of this secret pedophile ring that is taking place among high ranking government officials and within the culture at large.
So someone posts online. I mean, actually, when you just read that, I was like, that sounds like craziness.
Yes. Like,
so some guy posts on a bulletin board somewhere that he has insider information that X is about to happen. By the way, from what I've read in the media, the Q posts tend to be somewhat cryptic.
Yes.
They're sort of like up to mm-hmm. you as the reader to sort of mm-hmm. deduce and quote unquote, do your own research. Mm-hmm. Right. So there's a sense of it incentivizes the reader to try to connect some dots and figure some things out. But this is a many tentacled conspiracy, wouldn't you say, Chris? In other words, there are layers and elements of this that sort of, in other words, the article I read in the, was it the MIT Technology Review, basically said that, you know, this started out in these 4chan, you know, bulletin boards that are sort of populated by deep internet cultures, you know, people that are really into sort of weird internet posting. But that what happened is it got, you know, pieces of that got put on Facebook and Instagram and just more popular social media sites. And so that's what got reshared. So it's not the Q cryptic note, but it's just things, people saying, hey, there's a secret ring of people trying to harm children and we need to do something about that. Like these, the more generalized versions of that get shared more broadly on social
media. Exactly. It's sort of taking some of those cryptic notes and comments and then sort of applying, hey, this is what Q was talking about, or this is part of what Q is trying to uncover, what Donald Trump is fighting against. And then along with that has also started to get picked up within sort of mainstream politics. And so Trump has tweeted and quoted QAnon
<He's>, conspiracy. Of course he has.
You see Q signs. I mean,
he's tied with the guy. So.
Yeah, you have Q signs at Trump rallies. You're just seeing more and more of a presence of Q. Whether or not these folks have ever been on these 4chan sites or have ever tried to necessarily decipher all the codes, but there seems to be this growing sense of Trump is fighting against this evil deep state, these evil people who want to harm children. And so this is why we need to support Trump, because of this crusade he is on.
Okay, so the thing about conspiracy theories is there's parts of them that kind of could be true, right? Mm-hmm. Like they traffic in things that seem like, well, there might be something to that.
Yeah, there's absolutely people who harm children.
Well, and I'm just thinking about like
a real thing.
Jeffrey Epstein got murdered in prison or hung himself. But I'm just saying like he died. And the hypothesis was he knew some things about powerful people that could have the potential to harm them. So at least something like that happening makes you go, well, something could be going on there, right? Like it's not totally implausible that very powerful people in our society could be involved in child sex trafficking, right? So, but we have no, there's no data. There's just sort of the statement of like, oh, this is going on. There's this secret ring. This secret high level ring of people nefariously doing things. And that's why we should support the Donald.
And the problem also is that there's no way to, there's no falsifiability with conspiracy theories. It's either you believe it or you don't. And if there's any evidence that is contrary, well, that's you, you're trying to cover, or you don't believe the conspiracy theory. And so there's no way to falsify, because contrary evidence actually support the conspiracy theory. And so there's no way to actually reason and sort of test. They call it a theory, but it doesn't really function as a normal theory, because the theory you should be able to test and sort of validate or discredit, where conspiracy theories are like, whatever it is that you say only supports the conspiracy theory. There's no way to discredit it.
So based on this QAnon thing, which I had to go study and read about because I'm not a social media guru, we probably around this table all know people who are susceptible to this, interested in this, have followed this, and believe this. Is that true?
Yeah.
Believe some aspect.
Yeah. You might not have like people who are trying to decipher, like Bob, like you pointed out, decipher the actual coded stuff from Q, but maybe the general sense of like if you're really passionate about seeing sex trafficking ended. I mean, there are some like legitimate organizations that fight this stuff, and it is an issue in some ways. If that's something that you kind of keep a pulse on and you support as far as giving money to these organizations, you hear something like this and that might draw you in and say, that seems plausible. And here's the verifiable data. So there's probably more going on than what we even know about. So I think there are a lot of well-meaning people who hear some of this stuff and are drawn into certain aspects. So, you know, it isn't to say, hey, if you kind of follow some of these layers of Q conspiracy, that you're just a conspiracy nut. I think some of the more mainstream versions on social media can be easy to sort of get behind.
Okay, so I think I shared this on a podcast a month or two ago, or maybe longer, but back in March when the quarantine happened, the very first week when it was like, we're shutting everything down and, you know, everybody's kind of freaking out of like, really, I can't go to school and churches are closed. I shared that my wife got a text message from a friend, reputable, credible person. And the text message was, hey, they're sending the National Guard to lock us all in our houses. Go to the grocery store right now, stock up on everything you need, have 30 days worth of food. And, you know, I got the, and the text was, I know this from a high ranking National Guard officer who told me personally. So I was, it sounded plausible enough to say, well, that certainly could happen. Right. But I also was like, but it had the ring of, I don't know. So I sent the text to a friend of mine.
To a real high-ranking officer.
to a friend of mine who works for a government intel agency as a researcher and kind of knows some stuff about this stuff. And I sent the text and I said, hey, my wife got this. Could you just tell me, what should I do with something like this? And he responded a few hours later and said, hey, this meets all the classic conspiracy theory check boxes, which is, I have it on personal authority from a high-ranking person, right? So the conspiracy is always, I know this based on firsthand information. Two, something's going to happen that's really bad that only a few of us know about. And then three, you should take X action right away in light of all this information. And so it was helpful for him to say these three things are, almost every conspiracy theory has sort of these three aspects to it of, you know, some person who claims to be a credible source who has insider information and who says, in light of this, you should act now. And if you don't, it's going to be bad. Mm-hmm. I'm suspecting perhaps even that text message was connected to this whole sort of Q world, right? Of, there's a deep state conspiracy going on and we need to be aware of it.
So question, I'm curious what you guys, how you would maybe answer this is, what draws people to this kind of conspiratorial thinking? Why has this perhaps gained some traction? Why even, and then maybe another way to ask it is, why does it seem that this is particularly attractive to conservative people in the conservative world and even people within the church? Like, why?
I disagree with the premise of your question.
Oh, wow. Surprise.
Wow. Okay.
I think conspiracy theories are, I do not think it's just conservatives who fall for these things. I think this one in particular, because it tends to be, sure, hey, let's support Trump against a deep take. That's been a card that conservatives love to play for a long time.
Because when 9/11 happened, the whole liberal side of the spectrum is inside job. Right. So yeah, I agree with that. So maybe a better way to ask the question, why is this one particularly inviting to conservatives and Christians?
Well, you're protecting children. Mm-hmm. So that you have me at that, right? So like if I see that come across my Facebook feed, I'm like, oh, I'm kind of interested in this. Yeah. I'm interested in really anybody who's spending time to say they're going to protect children, right? So as a conservative, I'm going to be, or as an evangelical, whatever you want to call me in that moment, I'm going to be drawn to it.
I think there's I think Joe Carter might have made this observation in the TGC piece. It feels like there's something here, Chris, of if people need a reason to get behind Trump, they don't have a good moral character level or ethical reason to support. Yeah. So I need something that can make me say I can, with a clear conscience, vote for the Donald. And maybe this gives some people a sense of, well, see, if there's something deeply nefarious going on and he's going to stop that from happening, that's a good enough reason, you know? Yeah. So it just feels like maybe we're in a moment where people who would lean conservative politically have lost some of the normal reasons they would have to support a candidate who seems to be a credible person. And again, don't take my words as as too critical of anyone.
He's not talking about you.
I'm just saying it could be that this gives people the traction they need to support a particular candidate who for other reasons they would not find supportable.
So let me ask the question again more broadly. No matter your political leanings, what attracts people about just conspiracies in general?
It's the inner ring. It's what C.S. Lewis said. Right? It's the idea that I'm in on the inside. I have insider knowledge and I'm part of the select few that get it. And I get to be part of disseminating it and inviting other people to see it and get it as well. It's sort of, in a sense, it's a gospel-y kind of a thing, right? Here's the truth, and I need to proclaim the truth and invite people to respond to it. It very much mirrors sort of the Great Commission in some ways. Yeah. And maybe that's a reason why for evangelicals in particular, these things tend to have some traction because it sort of mocks or mirrors the impulse that we have to spread the gospel.
Yeah, I was giving this some thought too, related to why perhaps Christians are susceptible in some ways. And I don't want to paint with too broad a brush, because this isn't, I'm not saying that all Christians are susceptible to conspiracy theories, but if you, and I think it was several articles have kind of tied this conspiracy with some of the, what they called the satanic panic of the 80s and early 90s, where there was this, however long, this sort of assumption that there was all this satanic worship going on behind the scenes. And again, these children were in trouble. And I think it also was fed somewhat by kind of the end times panic of the 60s and 70s that led into the 80s and some extreme forms of dispensational thinking. And it even started to get me to think about the way we sort of look at the book of Revelation as this code to decipher, and that, you know, with Q and other conspiracies, hey, here's these codes, decipher, follow the breadcrumbs, figure out what this stuff means. And so there are some building blocks that are within the Christian worldview that could potentially latch on to some of this stuff that, you know, again, I think the Bible pushes pretty hard against conspiratorial thinking, but for whatever reason, evangelical Christians in America have kind of been shaped and formed in some ways where this sometimes gets more traction than it probably should. So let's say, you know, someone listening to this podcast, or a pastor or leader in this listening to the podcast, has folks in their church that are prone to this, or maybe outright given over to some of these conspiracies.
And here's how you're going to know: from their social media. They're not going to tell you at church on Sunday. They're just going to post it on Instagram.
I mean, if they're telling you straight up, you know, they've gone pretty far down the rabbit hole. But how would you counsel, how would you coach people who are having to, whether it be, you know, folks in their church or maybe friends or family members that are either given over to this, or maybe there's an increasing zeal for this. How do we engage them well?
Oh gosh, Chris, what a great question.
I'm not sure.
This is why I'm on the podcast, so you can tell me. I want you to answer your own question.
Well, I have some thoughts, but
good.
I'm letting you guys go first. You're that's wise. So kind of you. Counselors.
So kind of you. My simple answer, which isn't going to be very helpful to a whole lot of people, is I actually think this is why good theology matters, because I preached through the book of Revelation back in 2011. And I think in doing so, I tried to give Coram Deo Church a framework for how to think about apocalyptic literature correctly, so that we're not treating it like a book of codes to be deciphered and, you know, match X number up to the Antichrist person, and we can prove that it's, you know, Soleimani, or it's Hitler, or it's Trump, or it's Biden, or it's whoever. So I do think there's some answer to the question is, the more we lean into a healthy biblical theology, the more we build defenses. It's like an immune system. We build defenses against the kind of conspiratorial use of the Bible that can find traction in some quarters. And it tends to be in quarters that don't have a robust theological sort of framework. So preach the gospel, preach the Bible.
And most of my thoughts are along those lines. I mean, I think of passages in 1 Timothy where the Apostle Paul tells Timothy, hey, stay away from this kind of speculation, myths, and its genealogies. I mean, he's talking about kind of ancient conspiracy theories and that they're not fruitful, they're not profitable. And so what I would want to, you know, impress upon someone who's given over to this thinking is, hey, scripture says that this is not profitable because the fruit of this is just endless speculation. And you just go further and further and further down the rabbit hole, and it doesn't lead to godliness and righteousness and discernment, a deeper love of Jesus and the gospel. I think the thing that has most frustrated me in some of these readings is when they've quoted people who've said, hey, I've found God through this, or this has made me want to love Jesus more. And I'm like, throw a flag on that one. I'm like, no, yeah. That's all an appearance of loving God. That is not, because it's not the gospel. It's not Jesus himself. It's, I need a conspiracy theory to, so I want to press on the fruit of this and saying that what does scripture hold up as truth, and what should define our lives and how, and the nature of truth. But also, you know, the nature of good discernment and wisdom, and how Proverbs talks about testing things. And if you have an idea that cannot be tested and resists falsifiability, I mean, even the gospel message was falsifiable. Like, hey, if Christ didn't raise from the dead, then this is all bogus. And so we want to live in what is real and what has actually substance behind it. And so again, that kind of thinking just presses against how Scripture calls us to think. So I would just affirm what you were saying, Bob, of the importance of theology and a biblically formed discernment and wisdom and the proper categories for that, which conspiracy theories, to whatever degree we recognize, hey, there are evil people in the world. A lot of times they work behind the scenes. Some of these things, it does happen, but we also recognize that where this just gets pushed way past is just fruitless.
Well, and maybe I would say, let's spend our time pushing against things that we actually know.
Yeah.
There's two real strong conspiracies called Planned Parenthood and Pornhub that we could actually spend our time working against, right? Like and those are conspiracies on the surface, meaning there's no secretism to it. It's just like these things are pushing forward things in our society. We would say, hey, that's problematic. And so we don't need to, you know, spend our time on the internet decoding the mystery. We can just pray and work for actual positive change in areas where we know there's work that needs to be done.
Yeah, I think my counsel always comes out of, you seem distracted down this rabbit hole. And so, both of you make really good points there. Like, let's give ourselves to something that is really right here. This seems endless. Let's come out of that distracted place and give ourselves to something valuable.
I also want to, something in me wants to ask the question, what's the possible positive good that drives people into some of these places? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So in other words, what are the real concerns about life in the world that actually could lead me to embrace a conspiratorial sort of mindset in various ways? And I think right now we're living in a moment where America seems tenuous to people, where it just seems like, man, there's a lot of things that feel brittle right now about our national heritage. And that can leave people in a place of feeling like we're grasping to maintain something. Mm-hmm. I think in the 1980s, when you mentioned sort of the satanic panic and all that stuff, I think that was the height of the Cold War. And I was alive in that time. And man, nuclear Holocaust was a very real fear and threat always on the surface. And so I think people had this sense of the world felt fragile in that decade too, in a sense of like, man, we could all die from a nuclear missile tomorrow. And so in those moments where it feels like, man, the world is kind of shaky, I do think there's a natural tendency in people to gravitate toward what could I latch onto that would give some sense of this is a crusade worth fighting. This is a battle worth winning. You know, there's something here that we need to rally around. And you know, it always gets sort of end timey apocalyptic, you know, God language, laid over it. But I wonder if that's some of what's going on right now is just with COVID, with all the uncertainty politically, with Trump and Biden and the polarization in sort of American politics. If it just feels like, man, things are tenuous right now and people are more prone to latch on to things that feel like they give them some sense of certainty.
Yeah, yeah. And the sense of meaning and purpose in the midst of all the what we consider moral chaos and moral sort of crumbling and the battles. And it kind of, hey, I can define, hey, I'm on this side. I'm on the side of good. This is making sense of all the chaos in the world. And like you said, Bob, something to fight for. And I think that would be to kind of piggyback on both of what you said, some of the counsel I would give too, of if there are a real sense of, I have a heart for justice. And if it's in particular with, you know, the kind of the sex trafficking and the abuse of children, well, where do we know this kind of thing happens? I mean, you mentioned Planned Parenthood and Pornhub, but you can also think through, hey, what kind of children and what kind of families are exploited? It's typically those who are vulnerable in particular ways, broken families, those in certain socioeconomic classes that get preyed upon. And so if you care about this kind of stuff, then love people in those communities, care for people, care about single moms and their kids, just, you know, trying to meet this issue where it is concrete. And so we don't want to just say dismiss that they're the evil in the world, but actually, hey, this is where you can concretely fight it and make a difference rather than just hopping on the internet and you know, posting stuff on Facebook. I mentioned IJM earlier. I think they're an organization that does tremendous work. Christian organization does tremendous work, and so support them. Give money to organizations that are running at the real concrete problems and trying to push back in the darkness of this world. So there are ways that you can channel that concern in godly, biblical, loving your neighbor kind of ways.
All right. So if you are prone to QAnon conspiracy theory, we hope this encourages you to step back from that, maybe to take a break from social media or from being on the internet, and to pour yourself into the scriptures rather than the message boards. And hope this has been helpful to both survey this topic and also give you some handles for what we should be doing as Christians living in the times that we do and with the challenges that we have. Thanks for listening.
The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or a church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in, and we pray that this conversation might be helpful to you as you minister in your context. We love to hear from listeners, so if you have thoughts, questions, or future podcast topics, send an email to podcast@cdomaha.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next Wednesday for another episode of the Wednesday Conversation.